I'm very happy now to welcome the wonderful folks from the Santa Fe Art Institute, Diane Karp, who is executive director, Michelle Laflamme Childs, Deanne Brown, and Guadalupe Vargas. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Hi.
And let's start with tonight, Thursday, at the Santa Fe Art Institute. There is an open studios. You are the director, Michelle, of that. And often we have the residents on. They're not available today, but tell us a little bit about what's going on tonight.
Yeah, tonight will be our monthly open studio, the last one of 2009, which is unbelievably hard to comprehend that we could possibly be at this point. But at 5:30 p.m., we open the doors to the public to come in and hear what the writers have been writing, what the artists have been making. Actually, you might see what the artists have been making. And really get a sneak peek into studio process, which is a rare and fun thing.
And so that's at 5:30, and there are writers who are writing and painters painting and things like that. And, of course, my favorite part, refreshments.
Yes, as always.
Excellent. Diane Karp, the Santa Fe Art Institute is a very interesting place. I mean, many of our listeners go there for these lectures on Monday night, and we're going to be talking to, as always, more of your artists and lecturers and so on, and you've got exhibitions there. But there's this whole unseen by the public aspect of the Santa Fe Art Institute, which is programs that are happening in the schools and in the communities.
Absolutely.
Or out of the schools.
Well, in fact, when Deanne does her reports, she calls them in-school and out-of-school programming. And since I arrived in Santa Fe, one of the things that became very obvious to us is that for all the cultural richness and all the arts that's everywhere in Santa Fe, oftentimes, it's the young people, the children and the young people in Santa Fe who really don't have a lot of access to the arts. And there's arts in the elementary school, but the middle school, which is that crazy moment in time when we all get terribly worried about doing things that other people can see, and we kind of clamp down on our creativity. And the schools do that as well. They want everybody doing the same thing at the same time, in lockstep, because it makes schools easier to manage. A lot of the young people who are incredibly creative and innovative and gifted and talented seem somehow to just shut down. And it was my belief when I first came, going in and out of the schools, that some of the high attrition rate can be attributed to the fact that the kids who have the greatest creative energy are not allowed to express it. And they don't tell their own stories. They read what's given to them and respond to it. And so we decided, in fact, it was Deanne Brown who's sitting next to me. Deanne and I decided that we were going to go in and start stirring stuff up and make some trouble. And not make some trouble in a bad way, make some trouble in a good way. And see if we could empower some of these young, gifted people and enable them to share their stories and be creative and make imagery and make poetry and engage in problem solving in a way that was comfortable for them, that really had the potential to change themselves and their sense of self-esteem and change their roles in the community. And so we set to work. So we have anti-graffiti or graffiti mentorships, and I use both of those terms.
Anti-graffiti?
And graffiti, and I'll explain what that is.
We were talking about antimatter yesterday.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's kind of the same thing. Matter is antimatter. Antimatter is matter. And the idea that so many of the young people that we encountered in the youth detention centers were kids who had tried to make a statement publicly. They made it in the wrong place, in the wrong way. And for tagging, depending upon how bad the tagging was and how expensive the cleanup was, they were forced to either be incarcerated or punished severely in another way. And we looked around and we said, how could we be criminalizing creativity? And more than anything, how could we be criminalizing creativity in our young people? So we set about finding a vehicle to engage just those topics. And we hired on an incredibly gifted young man named Guadalupe Vargas, who we call Parrish. And Parrish became this guide. He is a graffiti artist. And he took these kids who wanted to tag, who wanted to have a voice, and he taught them by bringing in graffiti artists from all over the country who had different styles, different techniques, and different effects. And he brought them together and said, look, you want a tag? It's not a bad impulse. You have to learn what to do with the impulse. And so Guadalupe is going to talk about his mentorship and the projects that we have cooking. And we went into the public school with programs that really empowered voice. So they weren't traditional form and function arts. They were arts that the kids could relate to. They were arts and poetry that allowed them to be comfortable speaking. And Deanne's going to talk about that. And I think the end result is there's a lot that the Art Institute does, and we do it within our own community. And one of the most recent projects is that we've taken on not only DeVargas Middle School, but Hopewell Community Center, which is our own neighborhood. And we're beginning to work with them in a concerted effort.
So, Guadalupe Parrish, how did you start working with kids in doing graffiti art? I mean, what was that whole process like?
In Albuquerque, I used to work with this guy, Mike360, doing murals. And there aren't too many outlets for graffiti artists. So we were involved with the other kids and troubled kids and doing big mural projects with them. And the way I got into Santa Fe was I came to do a hip-hop workshop at the Youth Detention Center in 1997. And I just fell in love with Santa Fe and started working with projects here through Warehouse 21. And, in 2000 myself, I got in trouble with the law for graffiti. And it was a pretty high-profile case. They're looking at giving me 12 years in prison. And, you know, this was my first offense. But, I just feel that there isn't really many outlets for kids. You know, they were trying to give me 12 years in prison for this. And, you know, there's a lot of kids out there that aren't aware of, you know. So I just try to give them an outlet so they don't get in trouble and face what I had to face and show them that there's positivity, you know. And you could use the outlet to, as in, you know, I used my graffiti as an outlet instead of doing drugs or, you know, getting involved with gangs. That was my outlet. So I try to show people that it is positive. You know, you could express yourself positive and use it as a good outlet.
One thing I've always wondered about graffiti was, in a town where there's a lot of displacement of people and neighborhoods through new people coming in to buy their little dream piece of property in the Land of Enchantment, whether there isn't some kind of territorial impulse going on, saying, wait a minute, you think you can just take over, we're still here.
A lot of the neighborhood, like even the gang graffiti, the gang tagging, definitely does that. What I notice more about, like, the actual graffiti is it's people expressing themselves, just trying to, you know, just let them know that they exist, you know. And that's mainly what I get from a lot of the actual graffiti, opposed to anywhere you go, the gang tagging. That's more of a territorial thing.
So the kinds of expression that you see in graffiti, there's always, to people who aren't inside it, there's always a kind of mystery, like writing that you can't read or something that you can't understand. It's almost like it's in code.
To some it's like that, and some it's just getting up, you know. I mean, it's just as simple as that, you know. Some of the kids are just, you know, they're learning about it themselves, and I've been doing it for over 20 years, and I'm still learning about it. But, I think sometimes what happens, people that don't understand it try to put too much message on it, and then that's where they get confused that, oh, this all graffiti is gang graffiti, you know, and they assume, oh, look, this arrow means that it's pointing west, you know, it just happens the wall is facing that way, but, you know, people put too much thought to it, and it's, you know, it's just someone trying to express themselves most of the time.
So you've got all these creative young people that you're working with. I would imagine that some kids are into graffiti, and maybe kids are into other kind of painting or art as well.
Yeah, we encourage, you know, basically with graffiti, what we work on at our workshop is letter structure, composition. There's definitely a lot of geometry, which a lot of people aren't aware of, you know, and it's mathematics. It's pretty universal. And there's kids that work with stencils, and they want to learn more about free spray can control instead of just doing stencils. We do encourage, like the mural we did at Hopewell Project, not only did we use spray paint, we also used rolling paint, some acrylics, did sculpture work there. And it just, it kind of transcends. Like, even myself, a lot of my paintings right now are acrylics, and before it was all just spray paint. So you kind of learn how to use what you learned, you apply it to different techniques.
Tell us about the Hopewell Project.
The Hopewell Project is a project that we all got together with the Hopewell Community Center. And
Now, the Hopewell Community Center is on Hopewell Street, right near 2nd Street here in Santa Fe.
Yeah, it's on Hopewell and Espinacitas. It's called El Centro, and it's a really wonderful place. I just barely had the pleasure to get involved with them. They do a lot of where they teach English as a second language to people there.
GED courses.
Yeah, they do a lot of different programs there.
Yeah, I was over there, and they do also distribution of food.
Yes,
to
from
people
the
who,
food
who
depot.
Need it. Yeah, all
every,
sorts of
every
things.
Wednesday. Yeah. On Wednesdays we have a workshop from 4 to 6. It's a hip hop workshop where we get some of the kids in the neighborhood and we record music with some of the local artists there, and we set up a little studio. And it's fun because these kids are shy at first, and they start writing their rhymes, and they're learning about writing composition and 16 bars, you know, where we separate the music into measures. And now they're, like, really confident, and we recorded a song where we performed it at a little function we had there about a month ago.
Nice.
One of the things that we learned very early on is that the arts, the creative arts across the board, are incredible vehicles to allow kids to engage in learning things, learning mathematics, learning language, learning how to express themselves. And whereas if you gave them a piece of paper and a pencil and you told them to write a story, they would freeze. Where in this situation, Parrish is amazing. He's like the Pied Piper, and he gets the kids to begin to think about their own stories, tell their own stories, put them to music, learn about rhymes, and suddenly they have the ability to have a voice. And not only do they hear it, they hear each other's. They learn to respect each other. I think it's the idea of hearing other people's stories and understanding that there's just an amazing amount of commonality that can be shared, especially through the arts and music.
I think it's also important to say, and I know I've said this before on this show, but it bears repeating, which is that the arts are valuable not only in the effects that they have, like you become better at mathematics and better at languages, they're valuable in themselves.
Oh, absolutely. These kids are innately creative. And if you give them a chance and you tell them what a fabulous job they're doing and how good they are, it's like they beam, because it's not something they hear very often. And I mean that for all kids. I don't just mean for the kids at Hopewell.
There's also another phenomenon which is going on, which is telling kids they're fabulous when they're not.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that?
Well, we don't see it much, because one of the things that we've experienced, I think, across the board is that if you give children the opportunity to think about and engage in creative activity and you give them a safe, secure place to do it, they're pretty amazing.
Deanna, tell us about the work you've been doing.
I've also been working in the Hopewell community. And we do. There's another part of that is there's a women's workshop that's going on where Chrissy Orr and Soledad Santiago have been working with a group of women weekly. And Parrish and I, we take the little kids, very little, anywhere from 2 to 5 years old. And they've been doing a similar kind of storytelling, the women. And they're working on collage books and kind of telling a new story for Hopewell and their dreams and aspirations. And so that is going to result in, I think early spring, there's going to be a community installation going up there. And we also do, Parrish and I work a lot in the schools with doing hip-hop workshops. I'm not really the hip-hop one, but we also take a lot of our resident artists into the schools to work with and engage with different groups. And that's been great this year happening. And
there's something that I think is so easy to do if you just do it, which is when you expose kids to types of people that they've never met before. I had a little neighbor who used to come over a lot, and I had a friend visiting who was an anthropologist, and he'd never met an anthropologist. He'd never even heard the word before. Once that was made, he was in. He knew that he could then, for the rest of his life, be comfortable with anthropologists and know what they did and so on. And just making that link is huge.
And that's what it's been amazing. Just recently, one of our former residents, who I believe you remember, Issa Niafaga,
yes,
from Cameroon, he's back in town, and we've connected with the Santa Fe Indian School. And it's amazing in his presentations how much they have in common and just talking with the
Indian
kids.
And African people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's also a mural project on the building, which maybe, Parrish, you could tell us about, because that's something that people can see from now on.
And a gorgeous piece of sculpture.
Yeah, we had a couple residents that came from Sao Paulo, Brazil, Janato and Everaldo. And Janato and Everaldo started in graffiti art in Brazil and do a lot more, I call it recycled art, where they... there's a lot of trash on the streets in Brazil, and they'll pick it up and not only not get rid of it, but like 2-liter bottles, they'll turn them into flowers and put them back at the riverbank or wherever they found it. So now they've created this flower out of a 2-liter bottle that was once trash, and now you walk through there and it's a beautiful garden, you know, year-round garden. And we had the pleasure to go to the transfer station and load up a truck full of 2-liter bottles with these guys, and if you go down Hopa and Espinacitas, you'll see this sculpture of a beautiful woman that's made out of tires, a tree trunk, and some of these green leaves that were made out of 2-liter bottles. And you'll notice it because if you go in the wintertime, as it is now, the only tree with green leaves.
Right.
And the mural idea, Janato and I came up with it, what it was just do like a landscape with mountains, sky, and grass fields. And what he did was cut out these flowers out of wood and a butterfly, which Deanne painted. It came out beautiful. It's on the door. But we painted the mural, and then we came back later and installed all these wooden flowers. And it's really beautiful.
I love how you went down to the transfer station and said, you know, do you have any extra 2-liter green bottles? And they said, why? Yes, we do.
Well, it was just beautiful because when we called them on the phone, the guy that was in charge, he was very adamant about, oh, well, we're busy and we're not going to be able to help you, you know, so we'll point you in the right direction, but you could get all you want. But as we were wearing hard hats and getting hit by plastic bottles, a couple of the guys, you know, came and, hey, come over here, there's bottles over here. So they helped us, and we'd like to thank the transfer station for being very helpful.
Absolutely. One of the things that we find is the truth of the matter is when you do good work within your community and everyone is invited, everyone is willing to participate. And they pitch in, they get great satisfaction out of making a difference. And in fact, that mural and that piece of sculpture over at El Centro at Hopewell makes an enormous difference. It makes the building inviting and makes it visible. And one of the things that happens, and it happens all too often in communities that are not well-served or wealthy, is that they lose their visibility, and the people in them lose their connectivity. And what we're really hoping, because it is our community, is to build real connection between Hopewell and the communities around it, and make Hopewell and all of the Hopewell community highly visible, comfortable being visible, and engaged in the way in which their community relates to the larger Santa Fe landscape.
I think it's also really important not to separate kids into categories too much. This is a group of at-risk kids, this is a group of affluent kids, and so on. Because although they certainly have different challenges at home and so on, they're basically engaged in the same activity, namely growing up and figuring out who they are and what they want to do. And they all bring the same set of talents and energies, which are very diverse in any community, to that work.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been amazing because a lot of the kids we work with in Hopewell, then when we're over at DeVargas Middle School doing workshops, the same kids are there. And just recently we had a whole group of 53 kids, seventh graders, come over. And again, it's, you know, the same ones we work with here or that Parrish works with in graffiti mentorship. And so we were talking about this just recently, that it's all so circular now, and it's not just, oh, we're going to go work with these at-risk kids in this, you know, neighborhood. But it's, you know, we work with all kids in such a variety and so many different aspects.
And one of the things that happened was when Parrish went over with one of our artists, with Ted, who also is involved in hip-hop and music, As they walk through the school, the kids that they work with at Hopewell were, in fact, empowered by the fact that they already knew the visiting artists.
Right.
That they were already in and active and engaged. And so it, in an odd sort of way, gave them a little leg up. And the familiarity and the comfort of saying, oh, yeah, you know, Parrish is cool. Come on, I'll introduce you to the kids who live in more affluent areas. And that's the beauty of the arts. Whether you're rich or you're poor, whether you're empowered by, you know, the economic system or not, if you are willing to express yourself, if you have talent, that distinguishes you within our structure.
So they're writing poetry as well as everything else?
Yes, we do poetry workshops down at the youth detention centers in Albuquerque, and we are looking forward to getting an anthology published, and it's absolutely amazing the powerful works that came out of there. And we also do slam poetry with Amaryllis De Jesus Molesky at DeVargas Middle School.
And she's, that girl's a force of nature.
She is a force of nature. And it's Ammo and Jesse Workman and Cynthia Ruffin who developed the Breath program that has been running down at the YDDC in El Camino for more than two years now. And that's the anthology that we're going to produce. It's the work of incarcerated kids.
Tell us some of the stories of the incarcerated kids you've worked with.
Yeah, well, it was kind of funny because when we first came, like in 97, there was a group of Hawaiian kids locked up here in Santa Fe, and I guess they tried robbing a bank or something, so it was like eight of them. And they were breakers, like really serious breakdancers, and so they, you know, a lot of people have a misconception about New Mexico hip-hop, and when they come here, they're like, whoa, you guys are really on your hip-hop. And these kids are like, oh, we breakdance, we do this, and we brought in myself, I MC, I rap, I DJ, I do graffiti, and breakdance. And so we surprised them. I battled the kids, and they were like, okay, you're cool. You know, like, so it was really cool. And that's, but like, wow, there's so much diversity here that, you know, that it made me fall in love with this place. I also went a couple years with Ammo and them to the finishing workshop, and I got to perform and DJ for the kids out at the YDDC in Albuquerque, and it was a great time, and it was just cool seeing the energy that these kids had, you know. And it was like, some of the poetry was, well, most all the poetry was amazing, but just some of the kids, you could see their energy, you know, like, dang, that's like how I was when I was a kid, you know, like when I got on stage, I just became this crazy animal, you know. And some of these kids were like the same way, just killing the performance, you know. And it was amazing just seeing that even like in a place being locked up, that they could shine, which, you know, which is beautiful.
Another thing that goes on, and Deanne and Parrish can address that, is that we do public murals, and oftentimes they're outdoors. We're working with the city of Santa Fe on the DeVargas Skateboard Park, and we've already done some amazing murals, one at the DeVargas Middle School in the cafeteria. And the murals are always collaborative. We did a phenomenal one at Capitol High, taking an outdoor space that had been overgrown and looked like a trash heap. And Deanne went in. And why don't you talk about that, Deanne?
Well, we worked closely with Paula Iveland, who's an exceptional teacher out there at Capitol High. And there was a courtyard that looks like a prison yard. And it has all of these tiles about 4 by 4 feet tiles. And so we worked with a huge group of kids to come up with an idea for a mural on those tiles. We were just going to do about 20 of those tiles, but we ended up doing 100. And so part of it is a collaborative work in the center, and then each of the kids had 2 tiles to do their own vision on. And it opened with, we had over 400 people, just a big celebration. And we also put in a lot of plants and gardens, and they're building a greenhouse there. So it has life in it now.
And Mayor Koss came and painted along with the crew. So
nice.
It's amazing how it sort of opens up communications and builds bridges between parts of the community and even within parts of the community.
Does this work, in your view, Parrish, have potential to deal with some of the problems that arise from gangs in Santa Fe?
Well, I think if you give kids different outlets, like, what was that lady's name that came from the elementary school? The librarian lady?
Sarah Hart.
Yeah, she she realizes that, you know, the kids at the elementary school, you know, they're getting ready to go to junior high, and usually between the stages when you get hit up with gang, you know, there isn't really that many outlets. So I think with art, giving kids, like a lot of our kids, you know, they come from different neighborhoods, but that come to our graffiti workshops, but they all become friends now. They go to different schools, and they're all friends, and they hang out. And in a way, that's kind of like a substitute. You know, a gang is kind of like, a lot of people look at it as a protection or a group of friends, you know, and usually it turns out being negative. So with our workshops, what we try to do is, you know, you have friends at different schools, so why not? You know, they become like a group, you know, kind of like not a gang, but just they all hang out with each other. They go to different schools, different backgrounds, but they still have that common bond that makes them like brothers and sisters.
And they work on projects together, and they're public projects, and they all get to sign their name and take credit for it. And that builds a kind of intimate friendship among these kids. And one of the things that was really amazing at Hopewell was the kids that are from the South Side and kids that are from the West Side work together. And now the idea is to help them to continue to respect each other's work and the project itself. So it really is a way of engaging how you manage conflict resolution, how you build a little bit more tolerance and respect for each other's work and for each other as an extension of that.
I think one of the things that points out is that adolescence is a time where you really need a sense of belonging outside of your family, and if you don't have that in a positive way, it's going to be trouble.
Well, you're adrift. And Sarah Hart, who is a librarian in an elementary school in our area, mentioned that, you know, by the time these kids are in sixth grade, they are already being recruited for gangs. And she came and we had a wonderful talk, and we don't know if we'll be able to accomplish it, but she wanted us to come in and do some murals with the kids and their parents in the library. And so we're pursuing that a little bit. And we're at the stage now where we develop our own programs and we think through what we'd like to do. But more often than not, it's the community groups and community centers and schools that are coming to us to say, can you think of something that would work for us?
One of your programs is called BREATH, which is an acronym for Building a Revolution of Expression and Action Through Heart Work.
Yes, and that's Ammo and Jesse and Cynthia's project down at the Youth Detention Center and El Camino. And it is the result of young people, all three of them, who really want to give back. They want to help other kids that are in trouble. They want to be able to show them an alternative way of moving through the world and a way of expressing themselves and having a voice that's not only to be respected but awed.
If people who are listening have kids in school or work in the schools or just want to get involved, how do they do so?
Well, they call Deanne Brown, who's the Director of Education and Outreach. They can contact Parrish, and they can call the Santa Fe Art Institute at 505-424-5050, or go on the web and send us some mail.
And it's at sfai.org, stands for Santa Fe Art Institute, and there's a wonderful set of photographs, which I think you're just getting ready to put online, which gives a very visual and beautiful representation of all the different programs that we've been talking about. Well, Diane Karp is the Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute. Deanne Brown, Guadalupe Vargas, and Michelle LaFlamme-Childs, thank you all so much for being here. And don't forget, tonight at 5:30, Open Studios at the Santa Fe Art Institute. Artists and writers will be there. Thank you all so much for everything
you
do.
Thank you, Mary
Charlotte. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Good Morning Jazz features Artists of the Month, George Shearing.